Dzień dobry.
Good afternoon. I would like to welcome everybody at the presentation of BZWK Performance Group for 2014. Today there is Mateusz Morawiecki, President of the Management Board, Eamon Crowley, the CFO of the bank, and Wojciech Skalski, responsible for financial accounting area. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka, and I am responsible for investors' relations. Mr. President, over to you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, our results are well known to you, but let me focus then on a few areas of focus which are worth actually outlining as they are now and how they will do in the future. You know, there's the scenario of seven Egyptian plagues, and you know very well how this might translate into the bank's balance sheets on the interest income and non-interest income. Let me just tell you that as regards the net interest margin, we've been fighting to keep it as high as possible. In the recent few quarters, it's been declining down to 3.54. In the peak period, it was above 4%, but we've signaled to you that this trend will continue, that is the trend of strong pressure on the NIM. First of all, because of the deposit side, our chief economist envisages one more cut by 25 basis points. But on forwards, we can see that the market prices it in up to three cuts, 75 basis points. That is, let's say it's 50. But definitely the pressure will actually be even deeper. But we would like to compensate that with the strong growth on the credit side. And we believe that 2015 is the year when the lending growth will accelerate even further. Why? First of all, because we can see that the investment demand is rebounding. The NBP data indicate that the investment loans grow year on year nearly by 2%. There is a two-digit growth. And we believe that this trend will continue because the production capacity of our businesses, companies, have already been used in maximum, so they have to invest more and more. So this will translate into the bigger lending growth. The changes in the oil prices in the recent times and 9 times delayed in the prices of gas will actually impact the income of the income kept by our consumers, but also by businesses in maybe 10 to 20 billion worth of zloty, so roughly 1% of the GDP, and this will be a significant trigger both for consumption or investments or for both. There will be also a big impact of the EU budget in 2015, and we believe that this will translate positively into the demand for loans, and this will fuel the credit growth in BZWBK in the SME sector, but also in the corporate sector and in the GBM sector. So from the perspective of net interest margins vis-a-vis the volumes and appetite on the market and our appetites, let me summarize it as follows. Our ambition is to grow loans at a two-digit pace strongly, but given the total number of the value of loans after a consultation with SCB, that is 91 billion, that is 21 billion, that is more 20% of that, is in that part of the portfolio that will not be growing, which we don't want to grow. That is in the Swiss franc portfolio, mortgage portfolio, and in the property portfolio. And as you might remember, at the peak of 2008, it was nearly 16 billion, now it's 8 billion, and year on year, we reduced that by 1.5 billion. In this year, 2015, we would like it to stay flat. So given that and the flat portfolio or even reducing portfolio in Swiss franc, assuming the FX stability at the current level, let's say, 24% of our portfolio will be constant or decreasing. So the rest of the portfolio, SME, Polish zloty mortgages, consumer finance, corporate and GBM loans, have to grow at a two-digit pace, and this is our ambition, to grow it at a two-digit pace. The mortgage loan portfolio is to grow by 9-10%, SME portfolio by 12-15%, GBM by even 40-50%. So a strong two-digit growth corporate portfolio, except for property loans, by roughly 12-13% year-on-year.
This is our main recipe. We will leverage the external macroeconomic environment to grow our interest income despite the NIM pressure and despite the pressure on the Lombard rate, which may additionally, in addition to the interest rate cuts, have some impact on the Lombard rate. As you know, the sensitivity of the rate is very, very high. Should you have any questions, we may dwell on that later on during our meeting. Actually, that was quite a significant hit that is reflected in the results of the fourth quarter, but from the interest, also from the perspective of the interest margin and the net interest margin jointly. Deposits. There will be a big, big pressure on deposits, undoubtedly, but we see a growing interest in investment funds, in structured products. This is due to the fact that the interest rate environment is rather unconducive, and the rates will go down based on decisions to be taken by the Monetary Policy Council. Investors will look for possibilities on the active side. They will try to invest in lending activities. On the one hand, there's one possibility. On the other hand, they may use investment funds or some other structured products in which we are very well positioned and for which we are very well prepared. Despite the decreasing margin, we would like to see income on the non-interest side in terms of income from fees for management, for the management of ARCA funds. Over the period of the recent months, we have seen a very positive trend in that regard. From the bird's eye view, this is the interest side of our balance sheet. Talking about the non-interest income, well, that side is to be presented in detail by Iman. From our point of view, some numbers, some figures you may see. Agnieszka, please go to slide presenting non-interest income. For example, bank assurance. There you can see some decrease, but that's not true. Bank assurance is working very well. It actually grew. This is just because of the presentation method, the accounting rule applied here in terms of activity, penetration rate. Cash loans, for example, grew by 8%. For example, the penetration of mortgage loans, locum, payment protection insurance, we have increases of 30-40%, and the same applies to the total income from the insurance line. We see a very good growth here as well. Another plague that we call sometimes very sarcastically is bank assurance. Those changes will not have a negative impact on our preference account because we are in sync, we are in line with the famous recommendation. We do not have to change a lot in our procedures as regards the certification process, the certification of insurance agents, and the split of roles between the insurance, the joint venture company, and the distribution, meaning BZWBK. Our advisors, most of them have already been certified. So in our point of view, this is a kind of leveling the playing field for all the market players. We do not expect any significant changes for us, for our bank, despite this very sad sentiment seen on the market. Talking about the interchange fee, well, this is an elephant in the room, as we call it. Undoubtedly, this is another big hit. I'm talking about the level of the interchange fee. Quite recently, it was at level of 1.5. In the mid-year, it reduced to 0.6%, and starting from the 30th of January, it went down to 0.3%, from 1.5 down to 0.2%. This is a significant reduction. Nevertheless, we are trying to compensate for this by way of our volumes. As you might see in very detail in the package, the increase of 13.7%. This is a record high level on the market in the terms of credit cards, active credit cards. We have the second biggest portfolio on the market. We may even become the leader in terms of credit card sales. We focus very much on credit card sales and their transactionability. We think and we assume that it will grow above the level of 1 billion. So that will compensate for those lower levels of interchange fees. Do we expect increases or decreases in nominal terms, in absolute terms? We expect a slight decrease, but that will not be that drastic, that dramatic, down to the level of 0.3% by 60%, 70%. That will not be such a significant decrease. If we are talking about an increase and a decrease, it will be much, much smaller. Talking about income from interest, from investment funds, if you're interested in this subject, in this area, we may present you with more details, but right now I'd like to mention that we see a very nice increase in the level of fees and provisions from loans, fees and commissions from our lending activity. That bodes well for the future. However, we are trying to obtain higher account fees. This is because they are in some correlation with income from non-interest-bearing deposits, Visa deposits. So we are moderately optimistic as regards an increase in that area. In the context of costs, we would like to see our cost base flat, our cost decreased 2% year on year if we had to compare apples with apples. Well, we see the figure of 8%, but that includes integration with Aviva, SCB. It also includes integration costs, as if they were continuous. But these are one-off costs. This year last year we finalized all integration costs, which means that we will keep our cost base at a flat level. We are not going to add our integration costs from the last year. No, we will deduct them. We would like to keep them on a like-to-like basis. We will have them at the level of plus 1% or minus 1%, which should help us to finalize. I mean, we have already completed the merger process, but right now we are to finalize the commissioning process, the process of switching off some IT processes, which means that some data needs to be migrated. But the scale of this phenomena is very marginal, I would say. We simply have to do it over the period of a few upcoming months in terms of integration costs. That should be reflected by some additional integration savings. In this slide, you can see the figure of 200, at the level of 340 million. We will, because this is the result at the end of 2014, we are still to see 10 up to 40 million worth of additional synergies. That is one component on the side of our benefits. The other is the integration with the brokerage house. That should give us also lower operating costs. And we should also remember about SCB, which is to be integrated as recommended by KNF. That should also give us some additional cost synergies, but they will not be comparable with those seen in the context of Credit Bank. Nevertheless, we are talking about quite significant potentially quite significant amounts to be generated by our colleagues from the brokerage house and Santander Consumer Bank. On the other hand, we see some increases in our salary base. There is no inflationary pressure in terms of fuel and food prices, but talking about some other components of the inflation basket, we see some increases, and therefore those pluses and minuses are being offset. We want to keep that base at a flat level.
And the last component of the hard elements of the profit and loss, that is our loss loan provisions. This year, actually the provision charge was 100 basis points, and because of integration of Santander Consumer Bank, if we deducted Santander Consumer Bank, is it higher than 100 basis points or lower as compared to the former BZWBK? If we compare the smaller apples with smaller apples, it probably will be even lower, as I promised that it will be below 1%, and that's how it stayed. And what in 2015 we want this provision charge to be below 1%, maybe 90, 95 basis points, because I do believe that we are actually well provisioned wherever we need the new provisions. We had the AQR exercise, stress tests in the meantime. We had our own reviews of the portfolios, and we do not expect any negative pace of growth. The level of NPLs, we would like the non-performing loans to decrease significantly by way of selling portfolios, but also we want to decrease it by actually improving quality of the loan portfolio, and we do not expect any new significant NPLs in our book. As regards other issues, apart from the profit and loss account, I mentioned slightly the growth in our balance sheet. I mentioned our appetites for the lending growth, the deposit growth. Let me just add that now, once we completed the integration process, 1,500 of our IT specialists, people who deal with operations, actually shifted their focus on the products development, mobile banking, increasing efficiency. And all that is collected under our flagship umbrella, Next Generation Bank. We are building the Next Generation Bank, and it consists of a few pillars. And from your perspective, the key ones are those which translate into our efficiency ratios. There is the whole pillar called Simple Bank. So we built this the bank with the simplest processes. We invest in them. We increase strongly the sales of active products by buy by click, and not only investment funds or deposits or account opening, but we sell also credit cards, consumer loans, and small SME loans by under the buy by click formula. These are the products which are more and more sold through mobile banking, internet banking. So we will be improving the profitability from this side. Another big move that is worth mentioning here is the continuous restructuring of our branch network. As you know, banking is under a certain pressure of multi-channel, the changing channels of communication, different touch points with client, which are becoming more and more modern. And we are in the avant-garde as regards internet banking, mobile banking. But the branch banking, suffice to say, it is getting transformed, and we can see it day by day. But it's still very important as the network of for winning clients and for selling highly sophisticated products. So we are not drastically closing down half of our branches, let's say, but each year 30, 40 to 50 least effective branches are either closed or relocated or combined with other branches.
That is another process that will be reflected in the reduction of our cost base, and that will have a positive impact on our cost-income ratio. That ratio, the cost-income ratio, is very important to us. This year, it was at the level of 39%, excluding this integration costs, and excluding the cost of integration with Aviva. Our cost-income ratio is amongst the best ratios in the sector. It is below 40%. We want it to be improved. We have a plan for the upcoming 3 years, despite huge challenges we face. Another important factor witnessed on the market is related to the Swiss franc and movements in that rate. Our portfolio grew rapidly by about 2 billion due to the Swiss franc's valuation. Right now it will be about 1.6, or maybe it grew by 1.2% because our Polish currency appreciated. Nevertheless, the problem should not be neglected. It requires very close cooperation with regulators, and we want to implement all recommendations issued by KNF, by Minister Szczurek, by Mr. Piechaciński. I'm sure that relevant task forces are working heavily on this issue. On the one hand, we want to relieve the pain suffered by our customers. All those actions and action plans have been presented in the press and the media in detail, and I'm not going to dwell on them right now. Should you be interested, you can ask questions. Minister Piechaciński mentioned that there is above 90% of borrowers, Swiss franc borrowers, live in their apartments, and they want to keep their installments flat at the level of installments paid at the last year. And I believe that specific actions will be taken to ensure this. Let's hope that our Polish currency will appreciate, and therefore we should not see, we should not observe any difficult situations on the market. Another important market development, I believe, is the issue of our rebranding. We do not have any rebranding plans for this year. We have been preparing for this for a few years. As you can see in our logo, we keep adding to our logo Santander's colors, its name, as part of our rebranding process. Nevertheless, the brand of our bank, the brand of Bank Zachodni WBK, is very strong, and we want to grow the importance and the recognition of Santander's brand on the Polish market. Probably next year, or maybe the year following the next year, we will start a rebranding process. Nevertheless, we will not launch any big bank rebranding process. It will be spread over time. Bank Śląski serves for us as a role model. They've been doing their rebranding over the period of 7-8 years. We've been with Santander Group for 5 years now. Probably it will take another 2 or 3 years to complete this process. I'm not going to present to you any details of this process because we do not have specific plans. We don't know whether that will happen in 2016 or 2017, but we are getting ready for this process. We are investing in the recognition of our brand being part of a bigger Santander Group. We know that quite many of our corporate or GBM clients have very good perception of Santander being a global player. Summing up my part of our presentation, we are satisfied with 2014. That was a year of integration. Quite frequently, integration is related to some turbulences. Clients are getting more and more nervous sometimes with all those changes in their processes and products, but we really completed that process and last year very successfully, and therefore we look with a huge dose of optimism into 2015. Despite all those plagues I have mentioned, comparing ourselves against the sector, I believe that we have quite a good scale. We do not need any other acquisitions. We are a bank with one of the highest, or maybe even the highest profitability, the highest ROE, with the ROE at the level of 18%. We have a very good return on equity. Our costs speak for themselves. the loan deposit ratio also very strong at the level of 92%, excluding SCB at the level of 85%. This is really a huge safety buffer for us to stir up our lending activity. Summing up, closing up my part of this presentation, BZWBK is to be one of the driving forces behind the growing Polish economy. I do predict very many positive impulses to be seen by our economy related to the EU budget, for example. On the one hand, we'll also, we will have this EU budget. On the other hand, we'll see positive impact of those low food and fuel prices. I do not see that many negative effects of deflation. I think that we will see an even stronger lending activity that in turn will drive up the performance of the entire banking sector and of our bank, of course. Our bank is ready for the next, for its jump, another step into modernity. I'm sure that you are looking at our results, at our bank, not only over short term, but you also analyze our results from in a longer term, from a longer time horizon perspective. I believe that all that we have achieved in the context of our integration processes speak for itself. Those results speak for themselves. We are really very ready and we can develop even further. Thank you very much. I'm going to hand over to our CFO, Eamon Crowley.
I'll actually start with slide 27, which describes net interest income. The 2014 net interest income was almost 4 billion, which is 22% or 720 million zlotys higher year on year. Quarter four net interest income was 1.07 billion, which was 7% or 82 million lower versus quarter three, and I'll explain the reason for that in a moment. When we exclude the impact of SCB, net interest income increased by 6.4% year on year or over 200 million, which I think was quite an impressive result given the impact of interest rate reductions through the year. The net interest margin, when you include swap points and hedge positions, was 3.55% in quarter four, which was an increase of 1% versus quarter four 2013 and a reduction of 52 basis points versus quarter three. The quarter and quarter reduction was a result of the impact of lower yields on our loans due to the lower VIBOR rates in quarter four versus quarter three, lower spreads in consumer loans arising from the change in the Lombard rate, the natural delay in repricing of deposits, which were offset by very good performance in Santander Consumer Bank, who reduced their cost of funding by 10% quarter on quarter. And that highlights the benefit of SCB being part of the wider BZWBK group with regard to its funding position. Of the 52 basis points, loans accounted for a reduced yield of 23 basis points, and the impact of deposit pricing arising from term deposits and other saving deposits accounted for 27 basis points. It should be noted that the majority of these deposits have repriced in December and January, and early signals from January highlight that net interest income is higher than December, highlighting the downward shift in the cost of funding. So while we face challenges on interest income on loans, which are reducing, we will make up savings on the deposit side related to repricing of the position from quarter four. If I just turn to slide 28, which deals with net fees. Quarter four net fees were 472 million. That was a reduction of 10 million or 2% quarter on quarter, which was due to a 27% reduction in SCB net fees. And that arose from a seasonal higher bonus payment to sales partners. When you exclude that, SCB fees will be higher and BZWBK fees were flat quarter on quarter. In 2014, the fee income line was influenced by the consolidation of SCB, which delivered 75 million for the half year, and the consolidation of the insurance subsidiaries, which had an annual impact of transferring 60 million of fee income to the other income line. When you adjust for these two impacts, underlying net fees and commissions were 3% higher year on year, and as I mentioned, flat quarter on quarter. Higher fee income in 2014 was influenced by the growth in net loan fees of 12%, in connection with increased lending. FX fees plus 12% year on year, driven by increased customer transactions, and the growth in credit card fees and related income, which increased by 38% year on year. When you adjust for the JV consolidation impact, the underlying insurance income increased by 14%, as indicated by the President. So very good performance with regard to our insurance business. Quarter-on-quarter card income was impacted by lower transactions in ATM and FX channels. However, as mentioned, we've benefited from higher credit card fees, where sales have performed well. 194,000 credit cards sold in 2014, of which 52,000 were sold in quarter four. And card transactions continue to grow. We were up 18% year on year and 6% quarter on quarter. Customer other, which is made up of current account fees and FX fees, these increased by 9% quarter on quarter due to an increase in FX fee income up 5% and current account fee income, which increased by 13%. And this benefit from the fact that the migration of all customers onto one data platform with regard to our fee income, we had some benefit with regard to that particular movement. Capital market fees increased by 4% quarter on quarter, with asset management fees offsetting lower brokerage income. Lower income, fee income and brokerage was influenced by the distant fees earned and the BZ Vubica transaction in early 2013. And assets under management increased by 14%, but the net fee income only increased by 2% in the quarter. But the main point here is the first three quarters our asset management fees were reducing, and now they're on the turn and they're actually increasing now quarter on quarter. On slide 29, we outline other additional income. So in quarter four, realised gains in the sale of investment bonds was 164 million, and it was a total of 217 million for 2014. That's a reduction of 27% year on year when you compare it to the 2013 number. Quarter four net trading income revaluation amounted to 48 million. It was a reduction of 11 million quarter on quarter. The main elements of this line relate to FX and derivative transactions, which reflect the volatile market environment which we experienced in quarter four. We also had the sale of equity stakes, which totaled 12.6 million in quarter four. 10.6 million of this related to the sale of shares in an associated company, Kronitsky Recycling, but this reduced our stake below 20% in the quarter. But quite a positive performance there. We've no dividends in quarter four, and with regard to other income, it increased by 317 million mainly to the influence of the insurance consolidation, which had an impact of 178 million on the line. As we've outlined in previous quarters, the transfers here relate to higher net interest income, which is 12 million, lower insurance fees by 60 million, lower gains of financial transactions by a net 3 million, higher administration costs, which were up by 34 million, and higher depreciation and amortization of 86 million. We expect the transaction with regard to Aviva to close in quarter one, and when that happens, it will become an equity interest on our P&L, and we'll have unwinded the treatment with regard to how it's presented in the P&L across the different lines. It should also be mentioned that the bank made gains of 17 million on the sale of property in 2014. As mentioned in previous presentations, a VAT refund of 12 million related to leasing, reduced legal provisions of 15 million, and another 15 million arising on the consolidation of SCB. Excluding all the items above that I've discussed, other income was stable. If we just move to costs, which are on slide 30, total costs were 3.1 billion. This includes 245 million of costs related to SCB. Integration costs of 177 million and the impact of the insurance consolidation of 120 million. If you strip out these costs, the underlying cost base was slightly lower. And obviously we have to take into account there the increase in the banking guarantee fund between 2014 and 2015 and or 13 and the impact it had on our cost base. If you exclude the impact of the integration costs and subsidiaries, staff costs were almost 4% lower. With regard to general administration costs, when you exclude the impact of subsidiaries and integration, they were 2.2% lower. But cost increases were driven by regulatory costs, which I mentioned. They were up 26%. Discretionary marketing spend up 64%, where we continue to support our brand. And IT costs were up 19%, influenced by SEB. To offset this, we had a number of cost reductions, the main one being a reduction in consultancy costs, which were down by 18% due to the heavy spend in this area in 2013. Underlying depreciation amortisation was lower year on year, but for the purpose of the financials, is influenced by the impact of Aviva, which had 84 million of an impact on this line. Also, it should be noted that SCB adds 20 million to this line in 2014. As mentioned by the President, annualised cost savings arising from the merger are running at 340 million, which is the target we have for 2015. And this is versus the pro forma cost base of 2011. So we're ahead of plan with regard to our cost savings, and we still expect further savings to come through in 2015. Just move to the provision charge. The provision charge for the year was 837 million. That was a 15% increase. When you exclude SCB, which added 78 million to the consolidated provision charge in the second half of the year, the underlying provision charge was 1% higher. The 2014 provision for identified losses, that's individual and collective, was 350 million, which was an increase of 120 million quarter on quarter. But there was a release of IBNR provision in 2014 of 59 million, of which 20 million was in quarter four. And it should be mentioned that this related to the transfer of some business loans from IBNR coverage into NPL status. So it was just a movement between the two categories. Our annualised provision charge was just over 100 basis points. The coverage ratio reduced to 54%, but this was due to highly provisioned NPLs, the sale of highly provisioned NPLs in quarter four. SCB's coverage ratio was 90%, which was at a stable level for the year. Our NPL ratio increased to 8.37%. When you exclude SCB, the NPL ratio was 8.1%, which is a slight increase over 2013. SCB's NPL ratio was 10%, which is a reduction from 11.5% at the start of the year. The sale of NPL portfolios totaled 698 million, of which we sold 517 million in quarter four. The NPL sales led to a negative tax impact of 24.4 million in 2014, of which a loss of 26.4 million was recognised in quarter four. And this relates to the sale of a large mortgage portfolio in November, December, where we took a view that selling it now was more beneficial in the long run from a financial perspective. As communicated during the quarter three results, we expected the provision charge to increase in quarter four, and this was due to an increase in the SCB provision charge to more normalised levels. And indeed, given the increase in their book over 2013, we'd expect the provision level to increase slightly, given that they've a higher book and higher sales and higher income related to that. And we also had additional provisions on old NPL cases, which are in exit mode. Slide 32. The 2014 profit before tax was 2.64 billion, which is 5% higher year on year. Excluding integration costs from 2013 and 14, and the bank assurance gain recorded in 2013, and the impact of SCB, which delivered 162 million of profit before tax for the second half of the year, our profit before tax was 12% higher year on year. So again, quite good performance with regard to the bank, and as the President mentioned, an apples for apples comparison between 2014 and 2013. The quarter four effective tax rate was 29%, and as I mentioned, this is due to the sale of NPLs in quarter four, which was impacted by the reversal of non-tax deductible provisions. And the effective tax rate for 2014 was 22.5%, and this was versus 19.9% in 2013. Just if we turn to page 31, excluding integration costs of 177 million, the Aviva consolidation and SCB impact, our cost income ratio was 38.8%. Our total solvency ratio, which is based on Basel III rules, and this is after providing for a 50% dividend payment on consolidated profit, is 12.91%, with a Tier 1 ratio of 12.5%. If we were to include profit of 370 million, the ratio would increase by 36 basis points. So we have to go through a process with regard to including that. And if you were to include it, as I say, it's 36 basis points. And this is net of a 50% dividend payout. The reduction in the solvency ratio from 13.4% in quarter three to 12.9% in quarter four relates to the non-qualification of subordinated debt, which does not meet the revised Basel III rules. So we'll take action in the coming quarters to address this reduction and to consider the replacement of that sub-debt with regard to our capital calculations. But that is purely the reason for the reduction from quarter to quarter. We managed to achieve an ROE of 15, excluding integration costs, of 15.5%, and that's an increase from 15.2% in 2013. And in 2013, I'm excluding integration costs and the Aviva transaction. So it's, again, it's like for like by way of performance. And in summary, and as mentioned by the President, the quarter four results, and more importantly, the 2014 results, present a very good performance considering a year of challenges that we've had and the banking sector has had on a number of fronts. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So if you had questions, please go ahead.
Excuse me, may I ask you to use the microphone? Sorry, somewhere here.
Hello again, sorry. My question is on net interest margin, where you have observed a decline of over 50 bips during the quarter. And the question is whether you would expect this 50 bips decline to be recovered in the coming year, and if so, how much of this would you expect to recover, and what perspective do you see? I mean, is it one quarter recovery going forward, three quarters, and if you could qualify a potential rate cut on the margin as well, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. With regard to the reduction of 52 basis points, half of that relates to deposits, or slightly more than half of it. And that relates to a strategy, two elements, a delay in repricing of deposits. So it would include in that as savings accounts, some 1 and 2 year deposits we had in our books, which were maturing in November, together with a campaign we launched to gather customers through a 4% offer, which was a 4 month deposit offer. The vast majority of that particular offer has matured at the end of by the end of January. There's another 1.1 billion of that to mature in February. We are retaining a majority of those funds, and we're repricing it downwards. So we're getting the benefit of repricing on our deposit base, together with how we manage our savings accounts. I would just put a slight warning in here, in that we are noticing some increased competition in the deposit market, but it is around the edges rather than a full-scale situation. But it's something we're monitoring. With regard to so in that regard, our net interest income, as I mentioned, is indicating in January that it's better than December. But we also have to face a potential further cut in interest rates. So given those movements, plus and minus, I would I would expect it would take four quarters for us to stabilise the net interest income, net interest margin position, and we'd be looking at around the same level of around 3.5%. But there are many variables within this, within that, which relate to interest rate cuts, deposit competition, the impact of repricing of loans, and obviously, as the President has mentioned, our ambition to grow our loan book as well, which will offset that impact. So that is the position.
NIM outlook. Looking at your standalone data and Santander consumer data on net interest income in 4Q, it seems that the drop in Visa WBK in net interest income was deeper than in Santander Consumer Bank. Of course, there might be. I don't know that. But as I understand, Visa WBK may collect the deposits and then give this funding to Santander Consumer Bank. So there is some transfer of cost of funding between those two entities. I'm just wondering if the drop in interest income in Santander Consumer Bank in 4Q fully reflect the drop in the Lombard rate, or should we expect this level of the interest income to go down further in the first Q?
Okay, the drop in Santander Consumer's gross income, interest income, was 20 million. The drop in its interest expense was 10 million. So it had a net 10 million effect. We would expect a further impact on their interest income, interest earned because of Lombard, and interest rates as well. The benefit for Santander Consumer on the funding side isn't just purely us giving them cheap funding. It's actually they can reduce their term of their deposit funding to instead of having 3-year deposits, move to 2- and 1-year deposits, because they have the safety net of a larger parent, and that has also given them the benefit. And we should remember that they have deposits which are currently maturing at 5% and 6%, and they're rolling over at 2-point-something%. So they're also getting the benefit there. So, the key thing about Santander Consumer is they've actually performed very well in quarter four in the face of that reduction. And the reduction in their fee income is a one-off seasonal item. So I have every confidence that they'll be able to not fully offset the impact of interest income, but to a great degree.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. First, on the Swiss franc mortgage portfolio. We all remember that part of this portfolio, especially for KB, was originated at a very unfortunate timing of the market, late 2007, early 2008. There are some proposals from KNF in terms of, offsetting the clients or maybe reducing their overall loan exposure, but also calculating the savings that they had in the past because of lower installments. Those loans that were originated the latest, i.e. 2008, would be most affected. So do you have any simulations? What would be the impact for you if proposals like that are implemented? And could you share with us what is the LTV, mark-to-market LTV, on your Swiss franc mortgage portfolio? And thus, do you expect some IBNR provision coverage increase or something like that?
In the context of the first question, I can tell you that we do not speculate about theoretical scenarios, and we very meticulously adhere to what regulators formally recommend. And as part of the works at the Polish Bank Association, together with the ministers who deal with this issue, we cooperate with them on a daily basis, practically speaking. But hypothetical scenarios that people present in the media, in the press, calculating that on what somebody has said, we do not view that as a fact. If something becomes a fact, then we will respond to that quickly. But today, we do not know what we are really talking about. But I believe that the common sense will prevail here. and we will be capable to offer our clients something attractive that is an installment, not higher, but even a bit lower than last year. And we will help them to survive the difficult period, difficult for them and difficult for us. As regards the LTV level, what do we provide this type of information, Wojtek? We can give some indicative information that is quite high. That's all we can say. The majority of the banks on the market publish it. I don't know that the BZWBK is not really well used to having that portfolio because it was acquired, but it would be good if we had that information. What the majority of the banks publish? What exactly? What is it? Sorry, the speakers do not use microphones. What is 80%? Well, our LTV will be higher. No, they can't have it at 80 or 90% for the whole Swiss franc portfolio. I think that they have it higher. Different banks. And we probably have it as the average for the banks. But the problem is the big big dynamic fluctuations in the Swiss franc exchange rate. Last week it was dramatic. This week it's different. So the question is, were we to show it at the 31st of December or for some media reasons as at the 16th of January or at the 31st of January or today as at the publication date? Because that would differ at each of these dates.
Think about the value, i.e. the mechanism for valuing the underlying security in the property itself and what who uses what. So in that regard, you know, an indication of our LTV is above 100%. And if you want to come back with some questions on that, we can. And that 100% is at a rate of 4.2. But if you're going to come back with specific questions, we'll have a look at that.
If I may, two more questions on the forex-denominated mortgage loans. One is whether that extension, I understand, of the repayment, which would allow you to offer the clients a lowering of this, what they're currently paying for their loan in terms of their repayments, would that require higher provisioning, because that could be considered as a restructuring of the loan? And the second question is, could you perhaps comment on the level of NPLs within your mortgage loan book? How much different is the NPL level within the FX part of the book versus the PLN part of the book?
Eamon will provide you with more details in that regard, but I can tell you that today that portfolio has been even more healthy and robust than the PLN part of our mortgage book, even though both parts are very good and healthy as regards the non-performing loans ratio. Nevertheless, the situation will have an impact on our IBNR's provisions. We are calculating that impact in line with KNF's recommendations. If there will be any further recommendation, we will fully comply with them. However, to date, so far it is really difficult to estimate that impact following the increase in the Swiss franc rate, and it's really difficult to assess the impact on the portfolio. If we reduce spread, that should not really have an impact and should not change the situation in overall terms.
The NPL ratio for the Swiss franc book is 2.5%. Obviously, that's at a level of interest rate exchange rates that had depreciated by over 60%. So the customer has actually benefited or has actually already taken on significant impact with regard to previous depreciation on the exchange rate, and that's the level of NPLs in our Swiss book.
Jeszcze może a propos tego scenariusza wydłużania to.
As regards the extension of repayments, To date, some press simulations show that for an average Swiss franc loan, the loan installment is even lower at the beginning of January, and therefore there is no reason for us to consider any significant extension of our lending period. Probably we should rather talk about some single cases of single customers who for some reasons would approach us with such requests.
A ty ten. Darek.
To może takie pytanie, czy na...
Talking about the total funding position, 3.9 billion, talking about Swiss franc, is the bank going to suffer the effect of, will the bank reflect the negative LIBOR? Will the same happen in the case of the bank's liabilities? Will we see an impact of those negative LIBOR rates?
On our Swiss franc loans and repo facilities, in the main, yes. But there is a market standard coming into play with lenders of Swiss franc that they are zero basing the Swiss franc rate for the purpose of international lending. So it's not an issue at this moment because we're term funded and it will arise on a very immaterial basis over the next 2-3 years if there's a zero base on the Swiss franc. But on swaps, it will be reflected in the swap position. And by the way, just to mention that is the consolidated position for ourselves and SCB by way of our funding. And we actually provide SCB with more than 50% of their Swiss franc funding. About 60% actually. The other 40% they have by way of a repo facility. So again, that's connected from a group perspective.
Let me maybe continue with one question about your cost of risk in your corporate area. It was significant in the fourth quarter. And I think you've touched on this a little bit, but were there any specific cases, maybe in mining or some other industries, that drove those provisions that high?
Well, we do have an exposure to mining. And there has been a lot of discussion in the wider economy about the mining sector. And it is a factor in our quarter four provisioning, but it's a factor for many banks because there's a cross exposure to the mining sector. But it's not a dominant issue and not an issue that has drove the numbers for quarter four, but it's a factor.
Jeszcze może kontynuując koszty ryzyka.
Talking about the risk charge. What was the positive impact brought by the sale of the mortgage loans portfolio? I understand there was an impact on the net basis, but also in terms of the risk charge. How did it translate?
Well, in that the level of provision we had in that portfolio reflected the price we got. There may have been maybe a small, high single-digit millions of clawback on the provision, but it was minor. The main impact here was the after-tax impact. Whereby on that portfolio we had deferred tax assets on our balance sheet, which we had to reverse out through a tax charge. So these were higher risk NPLs that were sold, and as I say, the provision level was adequate to reflect that. So it wasn't material, is the key thing.
Okay, so the negative impact on the tax was more or less 70 million, because it was 30%, not 20%.
Of 30% for one quarter. And it's a marginal 10% increase.
Okay, I will touch on that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. If you think of our after-tax profit being 500 million for the quarter, it's about 10% of that. So it's 40 to 50 million. And it is one-off in nature. This was just related to one transaction. But given that we will continue to sell NPLs, we will see some of this through the quarters, but not to the same extent, I would suggest.
Journalist meeting where that I think the CEO mentioned that you expect your cost to income to improve this year, and actually we heard that your underlying cost base will be flat. that implies that your revenue base you expect to be up this year. Is it fair to assume that?
Given the flat or a very flat cost base, and even slight increase of our income will help us improve our cost income ratio on a like-on-like basis. We would like to keep it below 40%. Our cost income ratio is to be below 40%. But yes, you are right. We are going to fight for each and every 10 million worth of our income. But we are going to do this by way of restructuring our branch network with synergies in SCB, the finalization of synergies in SCB Credit Bank, and a very restrictive employment policy. In fact, our employment rate will go down year on year rather than increase. We do not expect it to be flat. We expect it to be at the level of even -1%. And this way, we want to keep our costs at the same level or even at a lower level. That will help us to improve our ratios.
I would like to ask you to provide more details on what Mr. President said. The risk charge for 2015, it is to be below 100 basis points. That refers to BZWBK Group or BZWBK. This refers to the group. We keep believing that in the long run, former BZWBK without a consumer where the risk charge is subject to a bit different regulations and rules, because you know well that consumer finance has its own regulations, that across the cycle the possible risk charge for Bank Zachodni WBK is even 80 basis points or even lower. But what it means across the cycle, is it the peak now, or are we in the middle of the cycle? So we believe that we might see stronger growth, but we had the years 2012, 2013, when the GDP growth was 1.5%, so 90 to 95 basis points. That's challenging, but doable for as regards the risk charge for the whole group of BZWBK. If I could ask one more question about costs. If I understood you well, about 200 million, there were the extra costs related to restructuring, and actually they should disappear, but in a sense, they will be replaced by the cost of operations, of the cost of operations of newly consolidated units. So this 200 million will net off with the new 200 million, so costs overall will be flat year on year. Have I understood you well? No. The integration costs are the cost of integration. They are one of non-recurring items, and they were the cost of severance for staff, for IT systems, and for the work of IT specialists and consultants as regards the development of systems for conversion. That will not be repeated, so the integration costs are a one-off. And we'll have some integration costs still this year, but they will be much lower than the 200 million last year.
Yes, you will see the cost related to SCB and insurance. Across the year, will this group of costs compensate for decreasing consolidation costs? Yes, under some lines, we show consolidated results items. The cost of Aviva, once we stop the consolidation, will disappear. We will see no impact. It is slightly complicated. Aviva will leave us. SCB will continue its consolidation. Right now, we are presenting all those additional items and adding all those items to increase in cost is by 8%. It is complicated because we have had SCB for about a year. I'm going to explain this to you offline. Do we have any other questions? If not, I will read a number of questions from the internet.
A question from Marta Jerzyska.
Ratio increased to 8.4 at the end of 2014, up from 8 as of third quarter amid the sale of PLN, 51 million of NPLs. What was the reason for the increase in the NPL stock outstanding?
Well, the increase is we did sell some NPLs in quarter four, as we've indicated. That had a positive impact on our NPL ratio. And then we had some cases that moved from IBNR, so they were under watch, let's call it, with an IBNR provision, into NPL status.
Next question. Could you comment on the nominal increase of deposit cost in fourth quarter versus third quarter? What was the source of this increase?
The main increase related to a campaign that we launched in mid-August, where we gathered nearly 5 billion of four-month deposit funding. The cost of it was fully reflected in quarter four, whereas an element of it was reflected in quarter three, and this led to the increase in deposits in interest expense. As mentioned, this will reduce as we reprice those deposits in through January, February, March.
Teraz pytanie od pana.
Now a question from Piotr Palenik. The sale of non-performing loans in the fourth quarter generated a loss versus the balance sheet value. This indicates that either the previous provisions were understated or the sales on the prices on the debt sale market decreased. What was the reason for this, and why the following tranches of non-performing loans are to be sold at a value lower than the one presented in the balance sheet, including all effects, including the tax effect, as presented on this slide, we will generate a loss. However, the provision coverage for those loans was consistent, more or less, with the price now charged on the market. In addition, when selling such big portfolios, we have to remember about the long-term costs of debt collection, of managing those debts, and therefore we found each and every reason to accept some decrease of their value, given the fact that the management of that portfolio over the term of the following months would generate even higher costs. Apart from that, we have to remember that such transactions are unusual, quite rare, and in this very case, the bank decided that the transaction was positive. One more question. Is the Lombard rate cut, has the rate been reflected in SCB performance? Will we see any further impact of that rate in the first quarter of this year?
With regard to the cut, the impact on the Lombard rate will be, any future impact on the Lombard rate will be subject to further interest rate cuts as they arrive.
To wszystkie pytania z internetu.
These are all questions sent by our internet users. Because you have no other questions, I would like to thank you very warmly for coming to see us, and I would like to invite you for a